cannot speak unto thee, am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marvelled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her waterpot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this a Christ? Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 29, and we know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee tonight for your blessings in this mission. We thank thee, Lord, for your blessings, Lord, even tonight, for your presence here. And O God, we pray this evening that as we turn now to the word of God, that you would come, Lord, and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for those in this meeting tonight who are strangers to grace and to God. Those, Lord, who are backslidden. Those, Lord, who have no assurance of salvation. Oh God, thou dost know, as our faces differ, so do our needs. But oh God, we thank thee that you can meet each and every one of us tonight at the very point of our need. And we pray, Lord, that you would come and bless both saint and sinner alike. But we pray, Lord, that in this gospel mission that the tide will rise, that men and women will realize their great need of Christ. And O God, that you'd be pleased, Lord, to reach down and snatch brands from the burning. Lord, fill us now afresh with the Holy Spirit. We need thee, Lord. We pray that you'll hide man far behind the cross and that none would be seen save Jesus only. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Last night we considered the mercy of God toward Saul of Tarsus. We noticed how the Lord showed his mercy toward Saul the sinner. How the Lord spoke to him, how the Lord smote him, brought him under conviction of sin, and then of course how the Lord gloriously saved him. Well, tonight I want to take up that subject again. Men and women, the Bible tells us that God is merciful, long-suffering. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And here in John chapter 4, the Lord again shows his mercy towards a vile sinner. The woman of Samaria was an ungodly individual. There is no doubt about that whatsoever. And in the course of our message this evening, we're going to see the depths of sin that she entered into. But here in this portion of Scripture, the Lord again comes in mercy. And he reaches out and he saves this woman from the depths of her sin. And I pray tonight as we come to consider this incident here, that if you're not saved, that you listen very carefully, because there's a very personal message for your heart here tonight. And I pray that God the Holy Spirit will take the word of God and write it upon your heart, and that even before this meeting goes out into eternity, that you will become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, as we come to consider this incident tonight, I want you to consider what Jesus did in relation to the woman of Samaria. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do here? First of all, I want you to notice very simply that the Lord Jesus sought her. He sought out the woman of Samaria. You know, this is brought out very clearly at the beginning of John chapter 4. Take a look with me there and underline the words very carefully in your Bible. Verses 3 and 4. It says, Jesus left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Verse 3 tells us that the Lord Jesus left Judea and began to make his journey towards Galilee. Now, in order for the Savior to get to Galilee when he left Judea, he did not have to go through Samaria. It was not necessary as far as traveling was concerned for Christ to go through Samaria to get to Galilee. A more direct route for Christ to get from Judea to Galilee would have been to cross the River Jordan and to travel to Galilee by going through Perea. But verse 4 tells us that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. In other words, as you study this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ went the long road to get to Galilee. There was a shorter route, but the Savior chose to go through Samaria. And of course, when you study the passage of Scripture, you can see very simply and yet very clearly that the reason why he chose to go through Samaria was in order to seek out this woman of Samaria. And you know, we are told here that the Son of God went to the very spot where he would meet the woman of Samaria. Take a look there at verse 5. Then cometh he, that's the Lord Jesus, to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh the woman of Samaria. Then cometh a woman of Samaria. The Lord Jesus went to the very spot where he would meet this woman. He left Judea to head towards Galilee. He took the long road round. He went through Samaria. He went right down to the city of Samaria, Sychar. And outside the city of Sychar, he sat down upon a well, because he knew that at that very moment, that very time, this woman would come to draw water. And the reason why he went there was because he was seeking out this woman of Samaria. This woman is not running after Christ here. I want you to notice that. Rather, it is the Lord Jesus that is running after her. It is the Son of God who goes out of his way in order to speak to this woman of Samaria. My friend, you know what the Bible tells me tonight? Very simply, the Bible tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible tells me that the Savior left heaven's glory and he came down into this sin-cursed world to go to the cross, and there upon Calvary's cross laid down his life, a ransom for the many. And thank God, although you and I were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, although you and I were enemies of God and strangers to Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, left heaven's glory and came down into this sin-cursed world to where we were in order to reach out and deliver us from sin, as we're going to find out in a moment. So you can see here very simply but very clearly that the Lord Jesus sought this woman out. Of that there is no doubt, and the Bible clearly and simply indicates that from this passage of Scripture, because those words, he must needs go through Samaria, points out very clearly that the Lord Jesus went down to Samaria to seek out this woman. Now, I want you to notice something else here, and I'm sure if you're familiar with this passage of Scripture, you will know this, because as you study John chapter 4 and Christ's dealings with the woman of Samaria, you will notice, secondly, that not only did the Lord Jesus seek her, not only did he go out of his way to find this woman, but you will notice that when he found her, he rebuked her. Now, that's a very strange thing for anyone to do, isn't it? To seek them out and then to rebuke them. Look at the rebuke in verses 16 and 17. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. Here we have the Lord Jesus, and as he comes face to face with this woman of Samaria, he rebukes this woman for her sin of adultery. Now, you will notice that at first the woman tried to cover up her sin. I wonder, did you notice that? After Christ said unto her in verse 16, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman said in verse 17, I have no husband. Now, by this statement, an ordinary man could have come to one of two conclusions. First of all, that the woman was single and had never married. Or secondly, that she was a widow. But the truth was that she had had five husbands, and the man that she was now living with was not her husband. In other words, at that present moment, she was living in sin, she was living in an adulterous relationship, but she tried to cover up that fact. So here we have a woman, and the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to her, and as he has this conversation with her, he says to her, go and call your husband. And she says, I have no husband. And by that statement, she was covering up the fact that she was living in an adulterous relationship. But of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was and is no ordinary man. And he was and is the God-man. And as the God-man, Christ knew all about her sin. Thus, she could not cover up her sin to Christ. And the Savior, knowing her sin, rebuked her. And what a sharp rebuke it was, because he said to her, thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. Now we learn a couple of things here. First of all, we learn that adultery is sin. And of course the commandment tells us thou shalt not commit adultery. But we learn something else here. We learn here that the sinner may cover up sin to his fellow man, but the sinner cannot hide his sin from God. Because the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Indeed, the Bible says, thou God seest me. You remember when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, the first thing he tried to do was to cover up his sin. He sewed fig leaves together to cover his nakedness, and he thought he had covered his sin well. Until the question came from the mouth of God, where art thou, Adam? And Adam couldn't cover his sin. And my friend, the truth is this, that you might be able to conceal sin and walk about as if you're not a sinner, and you might put on the cloak of religion, and you might feel that that in itself will cover up your sin. But the truth is this, that you and I cannot cover up our sin to God. Because the Lord knows all about us. And of course the Bible says, as we found out last night, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And here we have the Son of God. And as he seeks out this woman, and as he goes out of his way in order to find her. And that was a mercy, because she wasn't seeking Christ. It was the Lord Jesus that sought this woman out. And you know, friend, the truth is this, that sinners do not naturally seek out God. The Lord seeks out the sinner. And the Lord has brought you here tonight to seek you out. If you're here in this meeting and you're not saved, the Lord has brought you here in His providence so that you may hear His word, and so that the word of God might speak to your heart. And I pray this evening, as the Lord has drawn you here and as the word of God goes forth, that the Lord will indeed reveal unto you that you are a sinner. And I pray tonight that you will not cover up your sin anymore. Because my friend, to cover up your sin means to be lost forever. Indeed, to cover up your sin means to end up in a Christless eternity. Here we have the Son of God, and he puts his finger on this woman's sin. And he reveals to her sin of adultery. And although at the beginning she tries to cover up her sin, the Lord Jesus here wants her to see her sin. And my friend, let me say this very lovingly and very tenderly tonight. The Lord wants you to see your spiritual condition before God. Because until you see your spiritual condition before God, then you will never feel your need of Him. You will never feel your need of a Savior. You will never feel your need of repenting of your sin and turning away from your sin. And of course, as we're going to find out just in a moment, that's the reason why the Lord revealed her sin to this woman because the Lord Jesus wanted her to see herself as God saw her. And it was a mercy. It was a mercy. My friend, it's a mercy that God has brought you here tonight to hear His word again. Thank God, in loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace, He lifted me. And He wants to lift you too. I can remember the day when I was saved. I made reference to it last night. And I can remember before I was saved, how the Lord convicted me of my sin. And of course, those of you who were here last night when we were considering Saul of Tarsus, the Lord convicted Saul of his sin. He revealed to Saul that he was a sinner. And here again, the Son of God is revealing to this individual their spiritual state before God. And the truth is that there is none righteous, no, not one. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the truth is tonight that you are a sinner. And I say that lovingly, but I say it on the basis of the Word of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And here we have a woman who tried to cover her sin, but the Lord was having none of it. And the Lord pointed out to her very clearly her sin. And the sin that she had committed was bringing her down into a lost eternity. And my friend, the sin that you have committed is bringing you down into a lost eternity. Men today fail to realize the consequences of their sin. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And of course, the death spoken of there in that text is eternal death. Eternal death and hell forever. I know in this 21st century in which we live, there are many, indeed the majority of folk, they don't believe in a literal hell, and they don't believe in literal punishment, and they don't accept that God will punish sin, but God will. God will punish sin. And God will punish sin and hell forever. And that's why, if you're not saved tonight, you need to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You see, you'll notice something else here. Take a look at John's Gospel, chapter 4 again. And you will notice not only that Jesus sought her, He went out of His way to find this woman. Not only did He rebuke her, reveal unto her that she was a sinner, but you'll notice that the Lord Jesus forgave her and saved her. You know, the reaction of the woman reveals to us that she was a woman who had been forgiven and saved. Look at verse 28. And I believe verse 28, we can pinpoint her conversion. Because it says in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now there we have the testimony of the woman of Samaria. And this text reveals two things about this woman, about her conversion. First of all, it reveals to us that she acknowledged her sin and had repented of it. You see, the text says, and look at it carefully, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. She was referring there to her adultery. Everything that I did. Didn't the Lord Jesus reveal unto her sin of adultery? And here, as she goes forth into the city to witness to the men who she had committed adultery with, she testifies that this man called Jesus of Nazareth has cleansed her and saved her, and He has revealed unto her her sin. And thank God, because of this revelation, she repents of her sin. You see, she's not covering up her sin anymore. That's the point you need to see there in verse 29. She's not covering up her sin anymore. She's openly confessing that she's a sinner, but I believe she's openly confessing that she is now a saved sinner because the Lord has cleansed her and saved her. Indeed, notice there also in verse 29 that she acknowledged, not only her sin and that she had repented of her sin, but she acknowledged that Christ was the Messiah, the promised Savior, because she says there, "Is not this the Christ?" That literally means, "Is not this the Messiah?" She believed that the Lord Jesus was the Son of God, and she had accepted him as such. You see, in the course of the conversation that the woman of Samaria had with Christ, the Lord not only revealed unto her that she was a sinner, the Lord revealed unto her that he was the Messiah. Because if you look at verse 25, the woman saith unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh," which is called Christ. "When he has come, he will tell us all things." Verse 26, we have Christ revealing to her that he is the Messiah. "Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." What a revelation she received that day. For the first time in her life, she came face to face with the Son of God. At the beginning of the day, she didn't know that she was speaking to the Son of God. But as the conversation progressed, the Lord revealed this great truth to her. And the woman got gloriously saved. And the Lord forgave her. Men and women, you cannot find forgiveness and you cannot find salvation and receive salvation until you acknowledge your sin, repent of your sin, and believe on Christ as your Savior. Now, this is the ABC of the gospel that we're dealing with tonight. And that's what I want to deal with in this gospel mission. The Bible says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The book of Proverbs says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Indeed, it was the Lord Jesus Christ who said, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." And it was Paul who said to the jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." The message tonight is very simple, but it's very clear. The Lord Jesus is seeking for you. He's seeking for you. And although you're a sinner and although you have broken his law and transgressed his commandments, he's seeking for you. And the reason why he's seeking for you is because he wants you to know two things. He wants you to know, first of all, you're a sinner. But he wants you also to know that he is the Savior. And he is the only Savior. Because neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And he wants you to repent of your sin and by faith trust in him as your own and personal Redeemer. And of course, that's the reason why the Lord Jesus died upon the cross and shed his precious blood upon Calvary's middle tree in order to provide salvation for you and for me. The reason why Christ sought out the woman was in order to save her from her sins. And thank God, that's the reason why the Lord Jesus would come tonight and speak to your heart. That's the reason why he would seek you. I wonder, is there someone here tonight and you're in this gospel meeting? Perhaps you have heard the gospel before, you're familiar with the gospel. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're not familiar with the gospel. You've never sought the Lord. My friend, whether you're familiar with the gospel or not, you need to come to that place in your life where you repent of your sin and accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your own and personal Redeemer. Have you ever come to that place in your life? John chapter 4 records the conversion of the woman of Samaria. It tells us how the Lord met her and saved her. But it emphasizes to us the necessity of the new birth. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And tonight you need to be born again. You must be born again or never enter heaven. There's only blood-washed ones are there, the ransomed and forgiven. Are you born again tonight? Have you met the Lord? Has he spoken to you? Has he convicted you of your sin? Has he pointed out your sin to you? He wants to do that tonight. And he wants to save you. And thank God he will save you if you call upon him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He sought her. And he rebuked her. And then he forgave her. And he saved her. But he did something else. Did you ever notice this? He used her. He used her to become a missionary. Take a look at verse 30. It says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. Who went out of the city? The men that the woman of Samaria gave an invitation to in verse 29. Listen, she said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Now look what happens in verse 39. Look what the Bible says. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. He used her. He used her to bring others to Christ. Initially, the men of the city. Those that she had committed adultery with. But I believe there were far more that she was used to witness to and bring to Christ, because the whole city was moved. Even members of her own family, perhaps. Oh, my friend, you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved. The Lord wants to save you, to use you. The Lord could make you a missionary tonight. The Lord could make you a witness. Indeed, he will make you a witness to his own family if you come to Christ and be saved. You say to me, but you don't know the sins that I have committed. You don't know the life that I have lived. Well, I'm sure it's nothing like the woman of Samaria, but even if you have delved down into the depths of the wickedest sins, thank God the Lord's able to cleanse you and forgive you and save you and use you. And my friend, we haven't got the time because time's away, but you study this passage. And the Lord couldn't even use his own disciples here to win the people of the city of Samaria because of their prejudice and because of many other reasons that lost their vision. They didn't witness to the people of Sychar. God used this sinful woman that he saved and cleansed and transformed. And she was the witness. And the Lord can use you tonight. The Lord wants to use you in his service. And you could be the first one saved in your family. I was the first one saved in my family. And you can be the first one saved in your family. And you could go home tonight. Maybe a wife that's not saved. Maybe a husband that's not saved. Maybe you're a young person that's not saved. And there's no one else saved in your family. You could go home tonight and witness to them and bring them into the mission. And get them to Christ. But if you're not saved, trust the Savior tonight. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee tonight for the precious word of God. We know, Lord, that these wonderful stories out of the Bible reveal unto us God's dealings with sinners. And O God, we thank thee, Lord, and we praise thee for the way that you dealt with our lives and in our lives. You spoke to us and you revealed unto us that we were sinners. And you brought us to our knees in repentance. O God, we thank thee for your grace tonight and for your mercy. And Lord, our prayer is that what you've done for us, that you would do for others. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone here tonight, O God, I pray that you would reach down and save them from the depths of their sin. In a few moments, we're going to ask the Reverend Salt to come in the closing prayer, maybe sing a hymn. But could I just say, maybe there's someone here tonight and the Lord has spoken to you. Maybe not only tonight, but in recent weeks and months, as you've come and sat under the sound of the gospel here, and you're still not saved, but you want to be saved this evening. My friend, you need to make your peace with God tonight. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And I challenge you tonight. I challenge you to make your peace with God this evening. If we can be any help, let you speak to the Reverend Salt or myself. We're here as God's servants. We can't save you, but we can point to the one who can. But you need to get this matter dealt with. The Lord loves you. He doesn't love your sin, but he loves you. And he came from heaven to earth to die on the cross and to rise again to provide salvation for you. And he can save you tonight. You can leave this place on your way to heaven knowing that you're saved for time and for eternity. But please don't leave the meeting tonight without Christ. Speak to us.